Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, social media and technology have added a new complex layer to an horrific mass killings like the Texas shootings. Well, we're joined now by Professor Mary Aiken, who is chair of the Department of Cyber Psychology at Capital Technology in the University of Washington, D.C. And you're very welcome, Mary, to Drive Time this evening. I know that you've done a lot of research on the links between mass killings and technology and the possibility of intervention. And this investigation into the Texas shooting, we know it's at a very early stage, but it does appear in this instance as a very good example, I suppose, of what you've researched. The gunman made communications on social media outlining his intentions.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, you're right, it is at a very early stage and a formal investigation is underway at the moment. But there have been reports of communications indicating his intention to commit this violent act. And effectively, that window of opportunity to stage intervention is there. And that's what this research focuses on, is how do we get effective reporting systems for that sort of content on social media platforms? How do we alert the relevant authorities? And how do we put in place online safety technology solutions that can actually help to mitigate or to stage intervention protocols?
Okay, so in terms of your research then, you've looked at the role of social media in a number of different mass killings over the last few years. Can you tell us what you found?
I think what we found is that, you know, depending on the type of targeted violence or terrorism, we've certainly found that social technologies and social media specifically can play a role and certainly plays a very strong role in terms of contemporary communication. The point about indicating violent intent, in many of these cases, that intention has been shared or posted or messaged on these platforms. And really the challenge is, how do we get that knowledge, you know, how do we get to that intelligence or information faster? And can we use that then to stage what we describe as real-world intervention? The work that I'm involved in, safety tech, in fact, we just published a report in the US in January, which actually focused on using online safety technology to detect intention around targeted violence and terrorism episodes such as school shootings. And effectively, the specific area is called cyber physical. And what that means is picking up intention on social media platforms and then turning that into physical response from the relevant authorities.
So that technology does exist?
It exists in various formats, but it hasn't been massively adopted across all platforms. So these type of technologies exist in different ways. They are subject to regulation in different jurisdictions. And then you have all sorts of considerations around privacy. Mm-hmm. And these are sort of policy issues that need to be debated in terms of, well, what's the balance between national security in any country and privacy, the difference between interception of a direct message. If you say in a message on a social media platform, you know, as is alleged in this case, I am going to shoot up an elementary school, that can be within nanoseconds picked up through artificial intelligence, semantic surveillance, technology. However, the caveat there is around data protection, and it's around privacy, and
yes,
also
of course, because
around freedom of speech.
Presumably then, in order for the technology to pick up on a sentence like that, for example, it really has to be screening what everybody is saying.
To a certain extent, yes.
Yeah.
But could be fine-tuned to pick up on very specific threats. And that really comes back to a societal question, you know, in terms of what is the price? What are we prepared to tolerate in terms of, you know, where does the balance lie between collective security and privacy?
And you say that that technology is being used by some social media companies, but not widely.
No, the technology is available and is used in different industries at different levels with different permissions.
Okay.
So sort of, you know, screen. So say for criminal acts, certainly it can be deployed, or for acts of terrorism, again, subject to the laws in each jurisdiction. But the idea, you know, let's take this case in particular. There are two entities that could have helped mitigate or stage an intervention in this case. One is a reporting system on a social media platform that the person who receives or becomes aware of a message that they consider to be disturbing or high risk, that they should be able to create an alert that goes right to the top of the pile very quickly, and then a social media company could act on that by alerting relevant authorities. But that has to happen in seconds, if not, you know, minutes, to actually stage an effective intervention. That's one way of approaching it. The second way is to look at wider screening, but wider screening around very specific terms like threats to kill. So you can screen for those and not pick up other content. But again, it's back to, as a society, what are we prepared to tolerate in that trade-off between privacy and personal communication and security?
And in terms of your research or what is being proposed on this, is there any proposal as to who would be doing that screening if this technology were to be introduced? I mean, who would hold that data? Because you really are talking about very valuable, potentially very valuable data about what conversations people are having. So would it be government? Would it be the platforms? Would it be a mixture of both?
Well, ideally, you would want the platforms to regulate this content. I mean, if they can pick up cues in terms of your preference for what sort of makeup you like to buy, certainly, you know, they could surely pick up cues in terms of threats of violence. And, you know, so we see all sorts of profiling, and we give permission for profiling in terms of targeting people with specific advertising or things that they might consider to be to your preference. But when it comes to death threats, equally and oppositely, that sort of content should be picked up and it should be flagged and it should be reported. But I think the bigger issue here is that if you think of health and safety in a more general context, say that you are a property developer and you're running a building site, there are all sorts of guidelines and protocols as to what you should do on that building site to ensure the health and safety of the workers who are there. And they're not optional. It's a legal requirement. When it comes to social media, the difference is that they engage in self-regulation. So, and this is not just an Irish basis or European basis or US basis. It's across the board. And I think what I'm seeing increasingly in the last couple of years is the tide is turning in this regard. Governments in any jurisdiction are no longer willing to be passive in the face of allowing these companies to set their own standards and to self-regulate and then to decide what society should accept.
You recently briefed the White House on how we can use technology and safeguards in situations such as a mass shooting. Are you recommending any particular course of action to the people in the White House?
Well, yes, the report that I published, I was principal investigator on a report on online safety technology that designated the US online safety technology sector and created a taxonomy of where we could actually stage intervention, system level, platform level, device level, information environment, and this particular area, cyber physical level. The report was published and I was contacted by the White House to actually brief them on the results of the report as to what we can do at a societal level, government level, policy level in order to affect change. It's a very broad area. And what I'm seeing is attention is now being focused on you know, specifically on areas such as targeted violence and terrorism, and on the area of online harms in general. I mean, in Ireland, we have the online media safety, the online safety bill and media regulation bill going through at the moment, and you know, these violent episodes are not unique to the States. You know, we've seen this sort of violence. We saw it in Germany in 2016 in Munich. In Ireland, we also have to be cognizant of security and safety issues and these types of threats. We don't have the same lax procedures in terms of gun accessibility to guns, But the temperament issue, the social isolation in young males, the anxiety and depression, these issues are universal at the moment.
And you mentioned a move towards more regulation globally, really. How do we in Ireland compare when it comes to regulation of social media companies?
Well, if we're looking at the area that we call online harms, which is everything from bullying through to harassment, through this type of violence in terms of violent intent and hate speech online, effectively, at the moment, we're looking at implementing a bill in this area. But in Ireland here, we do not have the infrastructure to support such a bill. In other words, we don't have an online safety technology sector. I addressed the Oireachtas recently. My statement is available online. And I've said unless we invest in this infrastructure to actually deliver what we describe as technology solutions to technology-facilitated problem, criminal, and harmful behavior, then our legislation will fail, and it will fail spectacularly with no infrastructure to support it.
And are those technology solutions what you've outlined there again, which is effectively screening for certain conversations
screening
and words?
Is one facet of that sort of intervention, yes.
And what are the others? Is there anything else that can be done that would be perhaps less invasive?
Well, you can have, you know, general education and awareness. But, I mean, effectively, if you're screening for content, for example, let's take the generation and distribution of child abuse material online, which is one of the key areas in terms of online harms that we seek to address. What can you do about that? You know, apart from finding offenders and prosecuting and you know, jailing them or sentencing them for their activities, what we've seen is that a lax control to governance online does not mean that these problems go away. They exacerbate over time. We've seen it with terrorism as well. We've seen a growth in young people being radicalized and groomed, say, via gaming platforms. We have seen surge in hate speech and online. We've seen a surge in extreme and violent content that young people are exposed to. So the solution lies in governance. The solution lies in society deciding, actually, we are not going to let these companies regulate themselves. We are going to step up, and just as we do in the real world, and dictate what good practice, governance, and regulation looks like online.
Really interesting to talk to you, Mary, and some interesting ideas that you're putting forward. As you say, a conversation to be had, because certainly some people, I think, will be opposed to what you're suggesting, and I think some people will be very, very much in favour of what you're suggesting. So interested to hear what our listeners have to say in it as well. But we'll leave it there for the moment. Professor Mary Aiken, thank you very much.